about dealing with other sampradayas. There are distinct differences between the four sampradayas. And these four sampradayas are known as Shri, Brahma, Rudra and Kumara. Shri, Brahma, Rudra and Kumara sampradaya. Everybody knows about this four sampradaya.
These sampradayas, if you're in any of these sampradayas, you can go back to Godhead.
Yes, good question. The destiny of these four sampradayas are Vaikuntha. One can enter into Vrindavan only through one sampradaya. That is by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Vrindavan is very rare. Now that is actually the difference between them and us. The next point is, there is a distinct difference between these sampradayas and ours. Now the basic difference between these four sampradayas and ours is that they are in Vaidhi Bhakti. Their process is Vaidhi Bhakti, whereas Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that was established by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu follows the spontaneous devotion, Radha Nidhu. They will always remain in Vaidhi Bhakti. They cannot attain the platform of Radha Nidhu. That Raghunuga Bhakti is available only through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, the basic difference between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, if you want to say something? Yeah, is that Vaidhi Bhakti is with awe and reverence, whereas Raghunuga Bhakti is out of spontaneous love. So through there, you see, like, that's why they can go only up to Vaikuntha. They cannot go beyond that. Why? In Vaikuntha, the mood of worship is awe and reverence. In Vaikuntha, everyone knows that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their approach to Narayan is full of awe and reverence. It's like when you see the king in a court, can he afford to address the king in a familiar way? Is it possible? He can't. When the king is in the court, you have to treat him with awe and reverence. So Narayan in Vaikuntha is like the supreme king. So they cannot, nobody can actually have an intimate relationship with Narayan. Whereas in Raghunuga Bhakti, which is the central mood of Vrindavan, there Krishna is not the king. Who is Krishna in Vrindavan? Bhakta Brian? Krishna is just a cowherd boy. So if you see a cowherd boy, do you feel awe and reverence for him? No. You think, oh, here is my friend. Or some may think, oh, here is my son. Or some may think, oh, here is my lover. So Krishna in Vrindavan is allowing his devotees to develop a very intimate relationship. And that relationship is promoted by Yogamaya. Yogamaya's business is to... Maya means a bewildering potency. In the spiritual sky also there is a bewildering potency of the Lord. And Yogamaya is bewildering everyone in the spiritual sky. Now how is Yogamaya bewildering everyone? Vasudev?
Believe in a certain relationship.
Then, I mean, Yogamaya's main thing is Kalavika.
Just making you forget that Krishna is God.
Yogamaya makes everybody forget that Krishna is God. And that's why they can develop such a loving relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible. If you get to know that this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can you ever develop an intimate relationship? Example is Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. When he saw Krishna's universal form, then immediately, what was the immediate reaction in Arjuna?
Awe and reverence.
on rivers, he started to offer prayers, started to beg forgiveness. My Lord, please forgive me. I must have committed so many offenses to you. I addressed you in such a familiar way. And so that's how he started to learn it.
What's the difference between Brahma Sampradaya and our Sampradaya? Isn't it our Sampradaya came from the Brahma Sampradaya?
Yes, it's connected to Brahma Sampradaya, but there's a big difference between our Sampradaya and Brahma Sampradaya. As I said, Brahma Sampradaya is worshipping Krishna in awe and reverence, but our Sampradaya is worshipping Krishna in spontaneous love. And that is simply due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That is the difference between our Sampradaya and Brahma Sampradaya.
So our Sampradaya is a branch?
It's the example can be given. So you may be coming from one certain family, right? And in that family, somebody becomes very rich. He makes a million, right? Now, being the son of that member of the family, right, who is a millionaire, you become a little different from the family, right? So same way, we always belong to Brahma Sampradaya, but being Gaudiya, we are a little different, because we receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, whereas Brahma Sampradaya did not receive Mahaprabhu's mercy.
What does the meaning of Gaudiya mean?
Gaudiya means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. It has two main meaning. Is Gaur is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Sundar, and it's from him. So that's Gauriya. Another meaning of Gauriya is the land of Bengal is known as Gaur Mandal of Bhumi. The way this is Mathura Mandal, so Bengal is called Gaur Mandal. So this Gaur Mandal and the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness from Bengal. So that's why it's called Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gaudiya Vaishnava.
We are the same Sampradaya becoming in straight disciplic succession from Madhvacharya. But doctrinally speaking, the doctrine is not exactly the same.
That's a good way to put it. The doctrine is not the same. That's what I was also trying to point out. That our difference is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. We are not following Madhvacharya's teaching. We are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And what my point actually was that just the name Gaudiya, that I seem to remember reading that it fitted in also to his name, just to make it absolutely proper, so that no one could argue, well, what is this? Your teachings are different, but somehow or other that the name Gaudiya also fitted in.
I don't understand. I mean, actually, don't you realize that it's two different subjects? I mean, there is a difference.
No,
Madhvacharya's doctrine is totally different from Mahaprabhu's teaching. Mahaprabhu's line is, we are following Achinta Vedava Sastra. Whereas Madhvacharya propounded another branch of philosophy.
Do you want to recount the Jaipur incident in this connection?
That was not Mahaprabhu, that was Sri Shankaracharya.
How we became separate, but yet connected.
You see, Govindaji, Rupa Goswami's deities, are in Jaipur. And the king actually takes care of the worship of Govindaji, the king of Jaipur. So king of Jaipur, and the Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnavas used to worship. The Pujaris or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now the Ramanuji Sampradaya raised a big objection to them. So that they cannot, Gaudiya Vaishnavas cannot worship the deities because they do not have any parampara. So they raised that objection because, every parampara has to have a bhashya, a commentary of Vedanta Sutra. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not have a Vedanta Sutra commentary at that time. So the king wrote to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Vrindavan. But at that time, he wrote that this is what happened, so you please do something about establishing the Gaudiya Sampradaya and at least try to save us from this embarrassment that they are saying that we do not have any bhashya. So what should we do? So he sent Baldev with Abhushan. Bhishan Chakravarti was sick or very old, so he couldn't go himself. So he sent his disciple Baldev with Abhushan. And Baldev with Abhushan went and sort of he had a big argument with this Sri Vaishnava. Sri Vaishnava actually wanted to take over the service from the Gauri Vaishnava, presenting that the Gauri Vaishnavas do not have any parampara, so they cannot really worship. They were saying that Gauri Vaishnava is the upper sampradaya. So, and ultimately, Baladev Vidyabhushan was stuck with that point that we do not have any Vedanta Sutra commentary. So, like, what is your philosophy? That has been presented according to the Vedic scripture. So Baladev Vidyabhushan was actually defeated. So he took 3 days, or he took a few days time, and he started to cry, like, what am I going to do, sitting in his room? So then Govindaji came to him personally, said, don't worry, I will tell you exactly what you. And in 3 days, Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote this Bhashya of Vedanta Sutra, which is known as, because it was written by Govindaji, it's called Govinda Bhashya. And since then, Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya had been accepted, and the Ramanujas were defeated, the Sri Sampradaya. Anandamaya.
These lines of Sampradaya have, they have their acharya. Do you know them? Like in Sri Sampradaya?
Who is the acharya of the Sri Sampradaya?
Ramanuja
Acharya. Who is the acharya of Brahma Sampradaya?
Madhvacharya.
Who is the acharya of Rudra Sampradaya?
Vishnu.
Very good. And who is the acharya of Kumar Sampradaya? Got it? There is a subtle difference between ISKCON and other Gaudiya Sampradaya. So this is how we are making the list of differences. First of all, there are differences among the four sampradayas. There is a difference between Gaudiya Sampradaya and the four sampradayas. And there is a difference between ISKCON and other Gaudiya Sampradayas. We can see that when an acharya comes, the whole sampradaya actually converges in him. Like, they say, there was Brahma Sampradaya. But when Madhvacharya came, the whole sampradaya actually converged into him and it became Madhva, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So similarly, in Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srila Prabhupada came. And when he came, like, he was actually, Prabhupada was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There cannot be any doubt about it. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself predicted that the holy name would spread all over the world, in every town and village. And this is a kind of a... this is something that Mahaprabhu himself did not accomplish. Mahaprabhu came and he spread Krishna consciousness all over India. But he predicted that this will spread all over the world. And then, within 500 years, the personality came and fulfilled that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We must understand, it's natural, it's obvious to everyone that this person who fulfilled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, which is the greatest accomplishment for all time, could not just happen by chance or by accident. This was specifically designed by Chaitanya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent one of his very, very dear associates to accomplish that. And that is Srila Prabhupada. So when a personality like Srila Prabhupada comes, anybody who has his eyes and ears open, or rather we can say anybody who has his heart open to Krishna, will naturally feel attracted and participate in that person's activity. So actually Gaudiya Sampradaya literally converged into Srila Prabhupada. And although now we won't be able to notice it so distinctly, so clearly, but the future generation will see that as the time passes. They will see that ISKCON, Prabhupada's ISKCON, is becoming more and more prominent, and the other branches are becoming, either they are merging into ISKCON or they are gradually withering. So Mahaprabhu's line is actually continuing through Srila Prabhupada. Or to be more specific, we can say that the real Gaudiya Math that was established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is in ISKCON. Actually, Gaudiya Math that was established by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very dynamic movement. It was actually a revival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. And it took over whole India. And but then, because some devotees did not follow his instruction, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a very specific instruction that manage the society collectively through a governing body. He wanted that they should manage the society with a cooperative spirit, with a mood of unity. But they didn't do that. And because they did not obey the instructions of the spiritual master, they became ineffective. And they lost their potency. But Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada actually followed Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions to the point. And that's why, through Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's dream became manifest. And so, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Math, apparently has withered. But it cannot possibly wither, because a personality like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's effort, endeavor and dream can never go in vain. What a pure devotee desires, that is bound to happen. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted that Krishna consciousness would spread in every town and village. And through his bona fide disciple, Srila Prabhupada, that has become possible, that has manifested. So that's why we can say that Gaudiya Math actually revived in ISKCON. Or resurrected in ISKCON. The Kaas Goswami's conception of disciplic succession is a complete misconception. Their Kaas Goswami, they think that it's coming from the seminal line. Like the father of a Goswami, the son of a Goswami is a Goswami. And his son is a Goswami. So they are actually making a caste called Goswami. But what is the actual meaning of Goswami? Vijayala, do you know what's the meaning of Goswami?
One who has mastered upon his senses.
Yes. So now if somebody is not able to control his senses, can he be called as a Goswami? Now, is there any guarantee that a Goswami's son is going to be a Goswami? No, even in Satya Yuga it didn't work. So what to talk about in Kali Yuga when there is a massive Vaina Shankara? In Satya Yuga we see the sons of great sages became Rakshasas and demons. Right? Like Ravana was the son of a Brahmana. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha were the sons of Brahmana. So their fathers were Goswamis, but they became rascals. Right? And in the age of Kali, practically all the children are rascals, unless they take to Krishna consciousness.
What is the origin of this Goswami's
morals?
Is this
man
from
a
sixth Goswami?
Not really. Six Goswamis never got married. I mean, after they became Goswamis, they didn't get married.
Before?
Before.
Yeah.
becoming his body.
That was a sannyasi, it was a title for a sannyasi.
Explain before the six Goswami becoming Goswami, are they married?
They were married. Some of them were married. But they left their home. Raghunath Das Goswami was married. Rupa Goswami, Sannyasi Goswami were married. So they were, but once they left their home, they became sannyasi. They didn't have any relationship. And it's not that Rupa Goswami's son came and became a Goswami in the land. No. But this was started by the pujari. The temples were built and the pujaris were given the responsibility to take care of the deities. They took up the title of Goswami. And then their son, Toshu, this son, and his son, and his son, all these things.
Swami Narayan is also the religious seminal succession of Vishya. And there, in their mind, only the Grihastha is the Vishya to the disciple. And the sannyasi is always staying, you know, like protected, especially protected by the people of the
Oh yeah, right. Next few points. Yeah, Rani Shavastani. No matter how elevated, a Vaishnava always offers respects. No matter how elevated a Vaishnava he is, he will always offer respect. And as a matter of fact, more elevated one is, more respectful he becomes to his father. The more advanced he is, the more humble he is. Therefore, our dealing with other sampradayas should be very, very respectful. If we think that our parampara is very elevated, more elevated than theirs, then as a Vaishnava, we should become more respectful to them and not go there and flaunt ourselves. Like, oh, we all are Gauriya Vaishnava and you are this Vaishnava and that Vaishnava. No. Just take a very, very humble position. In our dealings, we must be aware that there is a difference between submission, humility, and respect. Now, this point I made to make a distinction between respect and surrender. Now, to be humble is one thing, to be respectful to be is also something. But that doesn't mean that we have to surrender to them. So we have our line. When it comes to receiving knowledge, we have our line. Like, to be respectful, now the more the advanced devotees in our sampradaya, we become submissive to them. But the advanced devotees of other sampradayas, we become respectful to them. We do not become submissive to them and say, I am a humble servant, please give me the knowledge. Or how can I serve you, so let me leave ISKCON and join you. That should not be done. We must realize that we have our house, and our father or our grandfather is the most illustrious person of all time, practically. Srila Prabhupada. And by our very, very good fortune, we have become connected to him. So we must take full advantage of this good fortune. And we should never leave the shelter of his lotus feet. We should always be respectful towards other sampradayas, at least externally, to protect Srila Prabhupada's good names. So actually we should behave in such a way that Srila Prabhupada's name becomes glorified. And we should never behave in such a way that Prabhupada's reputation may become affected. For the sake of Prabhupada, we must be respectful to others. It is good to know about differences and defects in other spiritual communities. There is nothing wrong, actually it should have been put in that way. There is nothing wrong to know about the differences and defects in other spiritual communities. Like, we are not blunt. Like, we do not say that everything is one and everything is good, everything is equally bona fide. No, we know what a Mayavadi is, we should know what a Sri Shankaraya is, what is Madhva, Rudra and Kumar Sampradayas are. what is the differences, and we should even know what is the difference between Gaudiya Mathas, our outlook and our outlook. So there is nothing wrong, because knowledge always situates us in a more secure platform. Knowledge secures our position in our spiritual platform. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We have discussed about the Vaishnava etiquette in management. ISKCON is a spiritual organization, not material, personally established by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, we have to take care that it doesn't become material. Anything, husband-wife relationship, deity worship, even prasadam, can turn material by one's consciousness. In any society, there must be some organization and management. Otherwise, there will be chaos. Even in the spiritual world, Krishna's friends are subdivided and supervised. Lord Balaram is a group leader for his cowherd boyfriend. Chandravali and Radharani head up left wing and right wing gopis, etc. Chandravali and Radharani head up right wing and left wing gopis, respectively. So Chandravali is the leader of the right wing gopis and Radharani is the left wing gopis. ISKCON is no different. In order for people to interact in a harmonious fashion, dealings and activities must be regulated and orchestrated. Point one, the material nature is the world of exploitation, but the spiritual nature is the world of service. The basic difference between material nature and the spiritual nature is, in the spiritual nature, everyone is geared up to render service to Krishna and his devotees. Whereas in the material nature, everyone is geared up to take service from everybody else. Which means in the material nature, everyone is trying to exploit everybody else for the sense gratification. That's the basic difference between material and spiritual nature. ISKCON is a spiritual organization. Regardless of position, everyone is first and foremost a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. No one should exploit his position for selfish interest. As a devotee of ISKCON, as a member of ISKCON, we must realize that we are here to render service. Our first and foremost duty is to render service to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the other devotees. Point three, higher position means greater service. Position means an opportunity to purely represent Srila Prabhupada. Hence, our management must be based on humility and tolerance. The Vaishnava management or spiritual management is a facility to render more service to Prabhupada. We should never think that big position in ISKCON means big facility to exploit. We may try to justify our tendency to exploit, but we must realize that we can't fool Krishna. So we should be very, very careful not to develop this mood of exploitation. More elevated position in ISKCON or in a spiritual organization means more responsibility, more burden, and more service. It has been defined, material management has been described as a pyramid. In a pyramid, the highest point is just a point. And lower you go, it becomes bigger and bigger. It tapers down to one point. Now, spiritual management also is like a pyramid, but upside down. In the spiritual management, in the spiritual management, the higher you go, the more responsibility you have, and the higher you go, more you have to carry, or more burden, more responsibility you have. And ultimately, who is the highest point in spiritual management?
Krishna.
And Krishna is actually shouldering everybody. There is a joke. I heard it, and a joke from somewhere. Somebody wanted to become God. So Krishna said, fine, if you want to become God, come, you take over my position. I'll take off, and you take my position. So that person became God. And as soon as he became God, he heard the whole, the entire creation is demanding, give me this, give me that. So when he thought of becoming God, he thought that he would enjoy so much. But now he realized that there is so much to do. Everyone is asking for so many different things. And we have to, God has to provide. So, we must be very much aware of this point that in spiritual management, higher we go, more responsibility we shoulder. And as a leader of the society, one cannot say, I do not have time. You'll have to find time. So how do you get the time? You stop, you eat, you sleep less, and in order to sleep less, you eat less. So actually it's Krishna's mercy. We have to give up eating and sleeping finally. And by giving more and more responsibility, Krishna takes away the facilities for eating and sleeping. And finally you don't get any time to eat and sleep. Because we have so much to do. And when the leaders set up such beautiful example, then the followers will automatically become inspired. This spiritual organization runs on inspiration. In ISKCON, no one gets salary. And no one is actually supposed to get salary. Now, if there is no incentive, then how shall people work? Everybody acts on incentive. Without incentive, no one is going to act. No one is going to work. Now, what is the incentive that people get in ISKCON? The incentive is?
Pleasing,
the first incentive is to please Krishna and Guru, or Guru and Krishna. And then, that impetus is generated by the other devotees, senior devotees, by the example, how they are serving Guru, their Guru and Krishna. So that is the position of a leader. He must be very, very conscious about establishing a very nice standard of service. And they should be happy very much, they should have a very wonderful mood of humility and tolerance, the leaders. Management must be based on humility and tolerance. Prabhupada displayed such intense tolerance and humility while dealing with us. As followers of Srila Prabhupada, we also have to display the same mood. Point 4, treat your subordinates as your younger brothers. Actually, the subordinates are junior. No one will deny that. We never say that our subordinates are senior to us. It is a known fact that the subordinates are junior. And we have to, at the same time, we have to be very careful that it's a natural tendency to exploit the people, those who are inferior to you. But if you have a loving relationship, then you do not exploit. And what is that relationship? Like the brother, elder brother and younger brother relationship. Like your brother, younger brother is junior to you, he is subordinate to you. But you do not exploit him. You shoulder his responsibility. Point 5, leadership is based on spiritual qualification, not on anything material. we should be careful also that our leadership is based on spiritual qualification. Leaders are spiritually potent, not materially expert. There may be many people, those are materially very skilled, very expert. They may be even very good managers. But we have seen how these so-called managers, very expert, materially expert people mess up everything. Because we must realize that the spiritual organization is going to run on the spiritual potency. Like a car that runs on benzene, if you put diesel in it, what happens?
It won't run.
After a while it will stop. So if we put too much emphasis on material quality, material abilities of people, I mean our society will cease to become a spiritual organization and develop a very intense material mood. So we have to be very, very careful about that. Those who are spiritually advanced, they should be accepted as leaders. Then mature, dedicated preacher makes the best leader. That's another very important consideration, that the spiritual leadership is actually preaching. A leader who is spiritually qualified, he may not be able to do things himself very expertly, but he will inspire people, those who are expert, to do things for him. So spiritual management actually means preaching. In spiritual management, we do not have to go and become expert ourselves. In order to lead ISKCON, we do not have to go to the schools of management and take a degree of business management. But a good preacher can get the best people from the Harvards and Harvard School of Management and inspire him to manage them. So a good preacher can inspire people and get things done. Like Prabhupada was an example, an ideal example. 70-year-old man goes to America, and Prabhupada's expertise was his attracting people and inspiring them. And he got so many young boys to dedicate their whole life, and they were very expert, and they accomplished things for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada sent them all. Prabhupada started San Francisco, New York Temple, then soon after establishing 22nd Avenue, storefront ashram in New York, he goes to LA, San Francisco. And then, these two centers Prabhupada opened on his own, opened himself. But the other temples, most of them Prabhupada just sent his men and opened temples all over the world. So Prabhupada showed how to open temples, and then he got others to repeat his act. And actually a Vaishnava is very expert in everything he does. Actually that's another quality of a Vaishnava, that whatever he does the best possible. Here also we can have the example of Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada preached, he was the best preacher. When Prabhupada wrote, he was the best writer. When Prabhupada spoke, he was the most eloquent speaker. When Prabhupada sang, he was the most wonderful singer. When Prabhupada cooked, he is the most empowered cook. So anything that Prabhupada did was perfect. And how does one, a devotee develop this quality? Who will say? How does a devotee, or why does a devotee develop such quality?
By serving as devotee.
Yes.
But because the devotee automatically acquires all the qualities of the demigod.
Very good. Actually, and if we can go even further and say that a devotee actually becomes empowered by Krishna. So Krishna, and because whatever the devotee does, he does for Krishna. And that's why Krishna empowers him. And that's why whatever he does for the sake of Krishna is a perfect service. So Prabhupada did not ever lack anything. Whatever Prabhupada did, it was best. So, and this is how we can see that if we also develop a very sincere and earnest desire to serve Krishna, then we also will develop these qualities to some extent. And another very important thing is that although this society is a society of servants, ISKCON actually is a society of servants. Society of devotees means society of servants. But every single devotee of ISKCON is actually a leader. So that is again another achinta bheda consideration. Like devotees are servants, but actually every one of them is a leader. And not only some ordinary leaders, every single devotee of ISKCON is a world leader.
Explain this
in this way, like we must develop the spirit of leading people, thinking that, to give an example, if there is some disaster and everything is finished and only one devotee is left, what will he do? Will you think that I am so insignificant, I cannot really do anything, so let me just become a bhajanaji, become a babaji? Will that please Prabhupada? No. We should think that even though I am alone, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada was alone and at the age of 70 he went and started this organization. So let me also follow the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and try to preach our own. Leader must feel for their followers. Then the followers will naturally trust them. If the leaders genuinely feel for their followers, then the followers will automatically develop love and trust. Actually, the leaders must love their juniors and the juniors will trust them. It is important to lead with detachment, but guide with a strong sense of duty. A leader must lead with a sense of detachment, but guide the followers with a strong sense of duty. That is my duty then. I have to guide them. So sometimes, while guiding, you have to become strict. But that strictness is not out of malice or negative feelings, but it is out of duty. The way a teacher sometimes chastises a student. He chastises not out of his envy or anger. He chastises out of his duty. Krishna consciousness is a perfect combination of autocracy and democracy. Now, autocracy is that the senior devotee, the junior, everybody has to follow the authority. The junior devotees has to follow the authority of the senior devotees, and like the temple commander or bhakta program leader, sankirtan leader, then the temple president, then the GBC guru, then ultimately Prabhupada or the GBC body in Prabhupada's absence, and then finally Krishna. So our structure is an autocratic structure. It is a transcendental autocracy. But it is also transcendental democracy, because whatever the leaders are doing is for the sake of the followers. So it is better to have the decisions passed by the general body of the devotees in a Nishtha Ghosha. So, thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.